June 15, 2020. It's a Live from Pedro show. Wife of Peter Show, happy Monday, everybody. Still in quarantine mode, so Brother Matt's at the Love Grotto, about 3 miles south, Pleasure Point. But through the magic of those engineers in Estonia with their Skype software, I am not man alone here in my pad, but I got Joey Holland with me. You're in Austin, right?
Oh, no. I live in, I'm in Los Angeles. I'm over in Highland Park.
You're only 30 miles north of me. Okay. You know why? I was thinking of Thor.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Because we got to thank Thor because he made the connect. And
God.
I love your music and everything. And when he did the suggest, I said, yeah.
Awesome. Oh, my God. I loved that show. That was my introduction to this show. And it was just, I just love how long it is. And it's, it's fantastic.
Last month was 19 years.
And wow.
I know. It's a trip. And they're all archived up at TWFPS.com. So if you ever need 3 hours of stuff.
Yes. And I do. Okay. I really need that. I need that long form.
Well, this edition here is going to be your journey through music. So, well, let's tell people what we heard. John Coltrane start off the show with, he starts all the shows. One up, one down from that Every Which Way thing they found a couple of years ago. And then on and on from you. Now, Joey, can you tell me your earliest musical recollection?
I wrote a song when I was like, I think 5 or 6 on a toy piano, and it blew my mind. Like, it was just like I stumbled into writing this song, and then I was like, oh, I can just remember what I'm doing and then just do that again.
Where was this at?
I was in a garage next to a bayou in Houston, Texas.
Okay. Houston's a little like SoCal, except a little sweatier.
It's very sweaty.
Yeah, but it's spread out. That's why where I find them kind of similar.
Yeah, definitely. Houston at its very best moments is like a cross between L.A. and New Orleans.
Yeah. And, Lightning Hopkins. I mean, a lot of music.
Oh, my God.
I got to play with Mr. Jandek, or the representative from Corwood Industries, a couple times, too. And,
awesome.
And Billy Gibbons from ZZ, and just incredible.
Yes.
Okay, so in the pad, well, I guess there was a toy piano, but was there other instruments?
My father had guitars and, I think he had a banjo, but I didn't live with him. And my stepdad had a guitar that I eventually got to play when I was, 13.
Was he a player?
He had, a country band. It was just more like a hobby.
Sure.
For him. Like, he never played around the house. He only, went to rehearsal and played.
Okay. But you, not practice, right? Rehearsal.
Right.
When I'm down, the guys playing hoops and stuff, I always hear, let's go to the gym and rehearse some hoops.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's just semantics, Joey. It's just semantics. But
I'm terrible at practicing. I've never, ever been good at that.
But you're good at rehearsing?
No, I just like to play.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, actually, I found out, my experience, is gigs are the real prac. I mean, you have to do the other prac to get ready for that prac, but when you do it in front of people, it's the real deal.
Right, it scares you straight.
Yeah, totally. So you would pick up his guitar from time to time.
I was lucky in that there was a real instrument around the house when I needed one.
Did you have lessons?
Oh, I really wanted lessons, but no, I never got lessons.
Not even from him? Okay.
No.
So what about at school, like the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Oh my God. Yeah. We were so lucky. My music teacher was about to retire, and she couldn't hear me, so she couldn't tell that I was improvising the entire time. So I started playing viola when I was 13, and despite completely fucking off in class, constantly, I was the best viola player. So I was first chair viola.
Wow.
And then when I was like 13, and then this girl came to school, and she was immediately the coolest girl in school. And she was first chair violin.
Now, listeners out there, viola's a little larger than a violin, but looks pretty much the same.
Yeah, it's like 5 notes deeper.
Yeah. And in fact, even the stand-up bass is like a giant violin without a chin thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's why Leo called his electric bass invention precision.
Oh.
Because it has frets. I know. Well, he played a little piano. He didn't really play, but he thought, yeah, if there's frets, there's no way you can, you know, fuck up the intonation.
Yeah, unless the intonation is fucked.
Fucked up, yeah, to begin with. Or you put your finger on the wrong fret.
Yeah, amazing. So, yeah.
So she becomes the number one. What happened? She can tell she's listed?
She was just amazing. Like, it was this kind of isolated school, and she showed up, and she'd been living in California, I think. Her name's Tess Wiley, and then she taught me how to play guitar. I learned how to play guitar from her.
And people, another, for all you aspiring musicians out there, a big diff between the guitar and the bass and stuff like the viola and violin is between the strings. They're in fifths with those, a violin and viola, and it's fourths with the guitar and bass. So there's a lot more drama when you jump between the strings. I had a cello player on last edition, and they're in fifths too. So
you go, okay,
the low string, right, is E. So you go E, F, G, and then the next string on a guitar would be A. But if it was fifths, you wouldn't go to the next string till B. So, little technical kind of things like that. So whose guitar did you play? Did you play the one your step pop had at the pad?
I did. I played. It was this giant. For me, it was giant, and it still would be giant. It was like a Alvarez, like a Mexican.
Like a
Gibson copy.
Yeah, kind of Spanish style, right? Nylon strings?
No, it was like a dreadnought, like a big Gibson, actually. And it had like those doves on it.
Oh, wow.
Which is like that Gibson style.
Well, those are actually, I think, hummingbirds.
is it?
I think so.
Okay.
Because there's a Gibson called the hummingbird. But okay. Alvarez, I know about that maker. That's a good brand.
Yeah, so it was a pretty decent guitar. But I just remember being, like, especially being a kid, like, they would give us just horrible instruments that you could barely play.
Yeah. Do you remember all those guitar shops on Sunset Boulevard by the Shinhard Center? There used to be some Alvarezes up there. I mean, they were good. Those are good. Quality made things. What about other kind of music? What was the first record you bought yourself?
Oh my God. I think it was U2.
Whoa. Okay. And what about what about the first gig you went to see?
My stepdad took me to Tears for Fears.
Whoa. Okay.
I was born in 1975, and it was pretty, we were just kind of like out in the suburbs of Houston. Like it wasn't really very cultured. So it's kind of like radio world.
Right. So synthesizer, I think they were new wave band from England, if I remember. Two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Right. My great uncles were Western swing musicians, though. So, like, I grew up, like, at Western swing dance shows.
Like Bob Wills and...
My great uncles played with Bob Wills.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The Texas Playboys. Yeah, that was a great. And also, kind of the music Patsy had behind her, Patsy Cline, was kind of that swing open.
Right.
Yeah, interesting stuff.
And that was like early rock and roll, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Tic Tac bass.
That had radio pop rock,
yeah.
Basically, of the time.
I want to play something from you here called Palmyra.
All right.
Only a few old petals left on the rose that touched your hand. My little heart is a graveyard. It's a no man's land. You could tell I didn't care. You kept pushing till I did. Woke up in a pit of despair on your bed. And I wondered how I could do without you. How absurd, how absurd. Look.
Should be. welcome. We'll be right back.
Wofford Pedro show we played. For you listeners, it ain't Deja Vu. For me and Jolie, it's Deja Vu. Okay. Palmyra from Jolie Holland. Odinara from Pat Ruth and Smear. Reduced Guilt from Deerhoof. Om Nom Savoy from Bill's Pump. Terrain Vague from High Five Club. Quesalita with Hello. Chapter 11 of Flight Over the Red Sea from the All-Star Horse Meat Band from Germany. And finally, Fox in His Hole, Jolie Holland. And we're catching up on her journey. She was playing in the, you know, the school orchestra, and then her, the first chair of the violin lady showed her guitar after school, but they never recorded. So what would she do?
No.
Would she show you songs, like, off records and stuff?
Yeah, we learned stuff, and, like, I wrote songs, and then we played them together, and she wrote songs that I played on, and we had one gig at the Westheimer Arts Festival in Houston when I was 16.
Okay, so what I was going to ask you was, you started writing songs.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, because, I mean, partly because, like, I didn't have any other way of, like, learning songs, you know? Like, I was that, I didn't have, like, music lessons. So, like, if I was going to play something, I was going to have to write it, too.
Okay. Because, like, me and D. Boone, we, like, you know, we were learning the Creedence and Blue Oyster Cult off the records, you know? Like,
yeah.
Everybody we knew did. I didn't know anybody wrote their own songs till the movement came. And then, like, everybody I knew wrote songs. It was like, what the fuck? You know, you're born into a time and there's a certain kind of zeitgeist, some kind of culture thing, right? And
yeah.
For us, it was like nobody wrote songs. The best guy in Pedro was the guy who could play Black Dog the best.
Yeah.
So it was nothing about, like, using music for expression. So I'm interested. What was her name, Tammy?
Tess Wiley.
Tess. With Tess, so you'd run by the song? Would she accompany you?
Yeah, we both play guitar, and she played violin. I think, I don't know if I ever played violin in that iteration. But she went on to be a professional musician. She was in, like, a big 90s band called Sixpence None the Richer.
Oh, yeah.
She's been a professional musician all that time. We lost touch with each other, for a long time. I lost touch with everybody. I moved to Canada for a while. And just, like, you know, it was like, I left when I was so young. I just didn't really, kind of think about that stuff, you know.
But you did do one gig, though, right?
We had the one gig, yeah.
Now, that was your first gig, right?
Yeah.
What was it like?
Her brother played drums, and he was a really good drummer. The whole family, they were great players. It was like a half-hour gig, and she named the band after a Graham Parsons song called Brass Buttons.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I didn't even know who Graham Parsons was. I didn't even figure out who Graham Parsons was until, like, you know, until I was in my early 20s or something. But she was older than me and, like, knew more things. So it was cool. And my father, who I'm pretty estranged with, was there. So that was kind of, like, that was cool. Just to know that, like, my dad was, like, witnessing this thing happen.
Yeah, it's like me striking out in Little League in front of my pop.
Yeah.
Total passion. So what kind of gig was this, Jolie?
It was cool. It was, like, at this outdoor festival.
Okay. So
it was a pretty great festival. I hope it's still going. I haven't checked into it.
Now, how'd you feel? Were you scared?
I wasn't. I think I was probably, like, scared scared straight, you know? Like, nowadays, I have a lot of stage fright, but not really on stage, like, more like just before I get on stage.
Yeah. I'm just wondering about people's first gigs, you know? Because, right, the whole world's different after that, after you break the water.
It was pretty triumphant, and I completely thank Tess for that. Like, it was really sweet.
Yeah. People who share their music trip instead of, you know, shit hoarding, they're very kind to do that, especially when you're young. Now, when you left school, you probably stopped playing viola, but you kept doing music.
I still played violin, and I just kept writing, and then I was like, I didn't live anywhere for a while. I was kind of living on the road, like staying in squats, and was basically homeless for a few years after high school, and even before high school, I was kind of like, I didn't really have anywhere to live from like 17 through. I started kind of living places when I was like 20, 21, but, I played music on the street for a while, and I played in Austin on the street, and I played in New Orleans on the street, and the guy I played with in Austin a lot was this guy, Stefan Jakusko, who, you're his biggest influence. He completely idolizes you. So he was to your music.
Oh, that's very kind.
And we just played on the street.
You guys were busking.
Yeah.
Okay. So did you join any bands? Because you said touring.
Oh, I just kind of lived on the road.
Okay.
I played with different groups, but I didn't really have a real band until I started this Canadian band called the Be Good Tanyas.
Yeah.
And we were together for like, I was only with them for like a year and a half. And then I went back to San Francisco. I came back to the States, and then I started making my own records.
Oh, so when you were playing with them up in Canada, it was their music?
It was our music. Okay. Like, I and even after that record, I was really only in the band for their first record, but then I played with them on almost every single record. Like, we were still really musically involved.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, like, writing music for yourself and then write for a band, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't all of it, right? You guys shared?
Yeah, we produced things together. That's such an interesting process, the difference between those things. But when I moved back to San Francisco, I got to work with these gorgeous players. Like, I got to work with this beautiful drummer, David Mahaly. And that's really where I got my musical education, was just, you know, from playing with people who are really conversant.
There's nothing like playing with a good drummer.
Oh my God. I've been so blessed.
Yeah. People, it's end of the first hour, June 15, 2020 edition Watt Peter Show. Special guest Jolie Hall, Old Tech Rock 2. June 15, 2020, it's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show. Thank you.
sudden headache. But I feel alright, I'm taking my time. Thank you.
Say hello. Turn my lights on so I can see them.
Hello.
Rock and roll is full of shit. 'Cause rock and roll is full of money. I'll take the money, but I don't want to be shit.
Trying to wash us away. Lower, he's a yonder.
And it was kind of like a tribute to Elvin Jones, because the first time I heard Elvin Jones, I thought he was two people.
You know, there is a small period where Elvin and Rashid are playing together.
Okay, all right. I might have been wrong.
But this is not many gigs. And, you know, in fact, I think the last one, Elvin starts throwing the cases out on stage. It was not too... Well, Alice said that John never fired anybody. They just knew when it was time to go. So,
wow.
Yeah. But when I'm thinking Elvin, like you were up in the city, so there was the Grateful Dead people did that, right? And I think the Allman Brothers had too. Jim Brown would have, Clyde Stubblefield and that. But you know how tight, or you parted out, I guess, but especially if you played same downbeat, man, so don't flam. Those guys got to be working tight together.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I love seeing my two drummers on Why Dark Sea working together. It was Dan Reeser and Justin Veloso. Like, they just looked like two, like, happy dogs running on the beach. Like,
Well, how'd you get them together?
I just thought of everybody who I wanted on the record, and they both said yes. And I thought, like, well, all right, we'll see what it's like to work with the both of them.
So before gigs, or this was in the studio?
I don't think that band got to play together too much, okay. But, yeah. I mean, I basically couldn't afford them.
Yeah. And also, two drum sets. I tried that once. You can't fit everything in the boat. You need two boats.
Vans.
Yeah.
It's
massive. A big mistake Men made was putting George Hurley in the back. Last 20 years, I've had my drummers up front on the stage, and we should have done that with Georgie, because I don't know what people got about drummers. Because it's basically rhythm music. We're all doing what they're doing, but they're doing it with every one of their limbs at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I want to learn how to play drums.
Balance it on the tailbone. Yeah, me too. You know, I got one in my prac pad because I got tired of people setting up and tearing down. So
yeah,
Perkins helped me just get one, so it's always there. But every time I get on it, it's terrible. I guess I could beat it in myself. I should say what we played. Dark Days, we start off the second hour. Then Few with Cloudy Day in Tokyo. Peter Lochner, Cleveland, Pledge of My Time. Tripod Jimmy. Tom Herman, I got a project going with him. Franco America. Skull Ring, some Stooges live in Tokyo 16 years ago. And then finally, Louisiana 1927, Joey Holland and Thorn Friends. There's Thor Harris. And,
yeah.
I've heard this song before. You know what the version I heard? She didn't write it, but she did a cover of it. Marcia Ball, piano lady.
Oh, cool.
Me and Raymond got to see her in Strong Beach, across the bridge here. Well, two bridges. And opening up was Pine Top Perkins, his 100-year-old piano guy.
Oh, my God.
Tore it up. That's, she was great,
that's
too.
That's amazing.
Somebody told me she was a school teacher, and she just did piano on the side. Kind of a Professor Longhair type of trip. Man, she's great. Anyway, that song's about the big flood, right?
Yeah, but that was from... Yeah, that was America's last biggest flood. But then we just had our we topped that.
Yeah, right.
With Harvey.
Yeah. And I remember Katrina was... Let's see, I was doing the Redden Festival with the Stooges. It was 100 degrees. The French guys call England guys in the summertime with the shirts off roast beef. Because they're real pink.
Seriously.
And I remember getting done with the gig, and they said this fucking storm had come and smashed. That's terrible. You lived there for a period.
Not really. I didn't live anywhere for a long time. Like, I just was on the road a lot. And I passed through New Orleans a lot. But my family's from New Orleans. Like, they my grandma's last name is the same last name as, like, one of the guys that, like, helped found the city. Like, and, like, she wasn't, like, high class or anything, but, like, they were just there a long time.
Right. I mean, they say four dominions, Spanish, French, Confederate, U.S.
Yeah, my grandma was Black, French, and Choctaw. Like, her last name is Choctaw.
Ah, okay, the tribe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, who's Samantha Parton?
Samantha Parton is she's the person that I formed the Bigotanias with.
Oh, it's a Canadian lady.
Yeah, so we got together and made that record, like, in 17.
Okay, because, yeah, I want to play this song, You Are Not Needed Now.
Well, the birds were talking all at once, and the old man mowing down his lawn. He didn't seem like much to bid again. I was thinking, hang on, man, something's wrong. Your blues, they just seem to be gone. Heaven ain't bad, but you don't get nothing done. Fine.
Creativity and storms, passion, grieving, and laughter, love, poetry, and strong women, gay men too, loving men, women loving women, all throughout our bloody history. It has been contorted and twisted, held down, and we are oppressed by the hand of the church. Are we so terribly frightening just by being human? How much have we lost by this blind, stupid oppression? A few people's idea of structure. We actually questioning the male power. They brainwash the foolish ones so we all go along in ignorance. Just look at our beautiful creativity, our wonderful way of accepting life with all of its horrible events. Is that so terribly threatening? Whose crimes are they trying to hide? That we might speak up softly, put the hammer in its place, and stand up to the church.
Think we'll hoist the black like a
Joey Holland and Samantha Parton with You Are Not Needed Now. And then the King Brothers after that with The Machine, Poor Luther's Bones. That's a father and son act. Garth Forsyth and his boy Alex, they were on the show a couple episodes ago. Ahead of My Time, Karen out of Canada, Toronto with Spice Traders. Joe Brewer out of Madison. That's where Clyde Stubblefield ended up. Great drummer, man. The Church. And then finally, Orchestra of Cardboard with the Black Flag. You know, Raymond came up with those four bars for the logo and the name of the band, his brother's band.
Oh, rad.
Yeah, it was for from Spain with the Republic and the Anarchist. Kind of. So what's Cardboard Orchestra?
That's Dan Edelstein's band.
Oh.
And Nick Graham Smith, who lives in Brazil, it's their band together. Or like, Nick is the producer.
Yeah. Kind of hard to prac with the guy in Brazil.
Yeah. But they're a cool team. They do good work.
No, there's a lot of that going on. Man, I've made albums, Jolie, with people I've never even met. Because of
oh my God.
No, this internet thing and trading files. Shit you could never do in the old days.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's an interesting. In fact, Thor Harris just asked me for a couple. He gave me some tunes here. Well, I play bass on it.
awesome. I can't hear that.
In the old days, you had to be in the room with the cat, right? Now, yeah, it's a trip. It's a trip that way. It's not such a bad thing. So, it seems like once you got to the city and you start with these two drummers, you make that record, that's when you start getting your wheels rolling.
Well, I just made Wynarksy. That came out in 13 or 14.
Okay, so a little later.
Yeah, I only lived in New York about 6 years, but I was there, you know, a lot over probably a decade.
Oh, this is New York. I thought you were talking about San Francisco.
Yeah, no, I made Wynarksy in New York.
Okay.
My San Francisco band, that was more like my first three records, which is like Catalpa, Escondida, and Springtime Can Kill You. And then after that, I moved out. And then the rest of my records, up until the Samantha Parton record, were basically New York City based.
And when did you get to Cali?
The first time I got out here, I had just turned 21.
Whoa.
And then I've lived in California for most of my adult life, with some time in New York, basically.
And some time in Canada, some time in San Francisco.
Yeah. And I've been in L.A., it's funny to be here for so long. I've been here like 5.5 years, which seems like a long time to me.
Well, yeah, you've been all over the place.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's cool to live somewhere. I just had never got used to it.
Having an anchor?
Yeah, it's nice. My favorite cousins live here.
Oh, respect. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, June 15, 2020 edition of Pedro Show, special guest Jolie Holland. Hold tight for hour three. June 15, 2020, it's the third hour of the Lot for Pedro Show.
Bye. I'm gonna be
runs over. If I what it's about, stay awake and dream inside the cave.
Show start the third hour with Kasai All Stars with versus Jolie Holland, Nyeka Nyeka. Is that Kasai or is it Kansai?
We'd have to look it up. I thought it was Kasai.
Okay, because Kansai is a part of Japan, right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it is. It's part. It's like they got an east-west part, right? That's the difference there. Anyway, how'd that project happen?
The guys from the label just asked me to do it, and I love like Kanono Number One, all that stuff's so exciting. So we recorded some bug sounds in the park, and I played violin, and we mixed that in.
Okay. So not only did you... You ended up collaborating, not just mixing. Okay.
Yeah, I love the sound of the way that they record the Ambira. It has that, like, incredible, like, buzzing noise and that relentless rhythm. So, and that always, like... I guess when I hear like a great choir of insects, it always reminds me of that kind of sound. So
Houston in springtime can have some insects.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I used to cock at this cat's pad in La Porte, so we drive through not this Pasadena, but that one with like the 30 refineries.
And totally. Man,
it'd be 20 feet from the hatch to the boat, and you'd have to, the mosquitoes, oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to bolt. I should tell people what else we heard. Crane and Skip doing the mayor, Imad Wasif with Unhinged, the Fog from Zigzags, live on KXCU, great Jesuit radio station at the Jesuit school. Timothy Airy with The Cave, Moon Tape, Black Moon Tape with Park Watt. Jiggy fuck. Sorry. Up on the Roof with Scabs and Pigs by Midnight Mines. Yeah, that's heavy. That's kind of union talk. So I don't know. It's from England, I think. So maybe they got different slang. But, if you go to Liberty Hill, you told me you'd been in Pedro and stuff. And Upton Sinclair got arrested for actually reading the Bill of Rights while this strike was going down in the 30s.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, some heavy history in this town. And then finally, the Wingdale Community Singers with Passin' Stranger. Actually, in 1923, the Ku Klux Klan here marched on the IWW Hall, and the big issue was immigration. This is like 100 years ago, same shit.
I was so happy to go see that plaque they put up to Joe Hill.
One of them got stole, the one with the sponsors.
Oh, damn it.
Can you believe the one with Joe that Suzanne, James at the Random Links, his wife made that, designed that, yeah.
That got stolen?
That didn't, but the plaque that has the people who donated the bones to get that going did.
Oh, wow.
Now, maybe they want to melt it down for recycling. I don't know what the fuck.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
My boyfriend's grandfather edited a book that was the collected songs of Joe Hill.
Oh, yeah, the Little Red Book. Yeah, the Little Red Songbook. You can find it on the internet. They called IWW guys Wobblies, right? They were interested. They thought the people working at the docks might be more because especially with the sailors and stuff, they're, you know, like you were doing, floating around and stuff. So maybe, and they weren't so much into that kind of a big strong state thing like other ideas. And so there still are some branches of IWW and stuff. Around.
That's cool.
Yeah. But Wingdale Community Singers.
I love that track so much.
Yeah, well, tell me about it.
So it's Hannah Marcus is singing the lead. Rick Moody is in the band, and David Grubbs is in the band.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's a cool little band. And they invited me to come work on it. So I played, I worked on that string section.
I think he lives in Brooklyn. He's a teacher, but he plays with the two of the guys I play in He'll Sell You to My Nile with.
He plays he's such a beautiful musician. Yeah. I love so much of what he does.
Well, I think when he first started, he was like a teenager, like in Squirrel Bait or some shit in the Slant, and then with Jim O'Rourke, right? Chicago
yes.
for a long time. Yeah, incredible
totally.
Musician cat. I want to play this song you did with I got to play with Daniel a couple months before he passed away.
That's amazing.
It was at the Orpheum downtown L.A. here, and also on KCRW. It was two gigs in one day, one on the radio, and then, yeah. I wrote you in the email. I couldn't remember meet me like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
He had his McDonald's hat on and stuff.
Okay,
love, you hated it, you have none. And your mommy and your daddy didn't give you some. And you're always on the run without love. Love, you'll regret it if you forgot. And you'll be all tied up in knots. If you can't share and there's no one there, you don't have love in all your deepest fear. You regret it through the year, and there'll be no tears, no feeling for anyone. Without love, the mind is completely drained, saddened by the falling rain, stuck somewhere in time, and there's nothing there to find. Alone without love, everyone's gone insane. You just can't remember a name as your life burns like a flame. Without love, you're hiding from each other. Not a word was spoken of it. And you're sinking in the mud in the crust. Without love, you'll never know yourself. There just ain't no help in hell for the children of the dead.
is the sweetest of refrain. It'll wash away your pain, and you'll be able to understand it's the greatest power in the land. Love will light the way for you, and you'll know just what to do as you follow through to a better kind of way. If love could find you somehow, you'd be living in the now. If you thought you'd love someone, love may come to you. Love could be with you all your life. You just didn't realize till love opened up your eyes. Love, it never really ends, and love could be your friend. Remember that love is heaven sent, and love is for everyone. Oh, love.
she's looking good. She has to sit the sun to sit. She's cool, 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 cool. Say, oh! Say, girl! Say, girl! Say, girl! Well, what you tell when she was young? They were the legend. Did she understand it when they did? Other than a man can bring back to you, say a legend. But you couldn't believe it when you did? Say, girl! Say, girl! Say, girl! Say, girl! She's the kind of girl that puts you down when friends are there. You feel a fool. She has to sit the sun just so she's cool. Cool, 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 cool. Say, girl! Say, girl! Say, girl! Say, girl! When she's told when she was young that fame would lead to pleasure, did she understand it when they said that a man could break his
That was Daniel Johnson without love. And you're singing there, right?
Yeah, I'm singing background.
Right, right. After that, we had Zola Jesus with Witness, Lena Anderson with Das Tier, Diazepam from Ill. These ladies in England, they gave me their CD. No Mercy. Are you aware of No Mercy?
I'm not.
Now, this is No, like the opera in Japan, right? So it's a H, N-O-H.
Oh,
and it was just a lady awesome. Singer and a lady drummer. This we're talking 70s punk, and they were up in the city, right? And they found a bunch of their recordings, but at the time, there was only a couple songs on this fast cut, and they were an amazing band. But, you know, some punk bands in the old days didn't have guitars.
Mm.
And there was a lot of women in the movement, too, in those days. And, okay, and then finally, give me a song. This is a Stevie Weinstein a phoner, right?
Yeah.
And a significant other?
Yes, my significant other. And like I said, his grandfather, Phil Phoner, was this really prolific leftist scholar and labor writer, and it's like in the family. Like his cousin is like one of the most famous scholars about the Reconstruction.
That's why they know about Joe Hill's book, Songbook.
Yeah. Yeah. And his grandfather also wrote a huge book about Frederick Douglass when we had almost forgotten about him as a country.
Fred Douglass, yeah. Well, my sound guy, Steve Reed, man, he told me he knew about him. He told me he visited Mr. Lincoln, and it was kind of a weird meeting, you know?
Oh, I bet, yeah.
You know, he almost hired Giuseppe Garibaldi, but Mr. Garibaldi said, you're too weak on this slavery issue. Because that's what he told Fred Douglass, if I got to free you to keep it together, okay. But if I got to slave you, keep you slave to keep it together, I will too. And Fred Douglass is like, what? Yeah. And, you know, it was just kicking the can down the road. I mean, we got to deal with this.
I know. Now is the time for right. real Reconstruction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What's next for you, Jolie?
I don't know. My lungs are pretty terrible, so, like, I don't think I can tour until we get this virus under control. So I might even make a record at home, which I never have. Like I really love.
You should.
Yeah, I love the studio. I love playing with people. So this will be interesting. I've never even thought about like making an isolated record before.
Well, Jolie, you know life deals you hands, so you got to play that hand, right?
Yeah.
And that's it. I read somewhere that whoever wrote that Shakespeare shit did King Lear during the lockdown of the plague. Yeah.
Totally. I love that. That stuff is inspiring to me, just like looking back and seeing how people have dealt with this kind of thing before.
Well, when you make the record, will you come on the show and we'll play it all and talk about it every tune?
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that would be bitching, really, truly. And it's a great honor to have you on the show.
People, oh, my God.
I wish you big success with this. I know you can make a good one.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. It's a huge honor to be on your show.
Oh, thank you. People, it's been the June 15, 2020 edition of Watch for Pedro show. Keep your powder dry.